Good morning. It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I am here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Well, 7 o'clock on Monday means it's time for the State Capitol Report, and as you can guess, we've got plenty to talk about this morning. Sean Johnson is with us for the first half hour, WPR State Capitol Reporter. And he's going to help us sort out the events of the past week, if anybody can do it. After 7:30, by the way, stick around because Kevin Kennedy is going to be here with the state's Government Accountability Board, and we'll be taking a look at recall elections in the state and how they work. As always, there's a place for you in the discussion, too. You can join us at 800-642-1234 or join us on email. That address is talk@WPR.org. And don't forget, you can always follow Joy Cardine on Facebook, if you'd like. Well, Sean Johnson, good morning. You've been working, what, 25, 26, 27 hours a day lately?
Yeah, just don't think about it, Ray.
So, you know, after last week, I used to be a reporter way back in the day, and you're always looking for the lead story. And after last week, I can't figure out what the lead is. There's just so many of them.
What the lead is going forward from here?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you look at the story in terms of, you know, this collective bargaining bill, will it or won't it pass?
Mm-hmm.
Know the answer to that now.
We do.
The governor signed it, and while it hasn't been published yet, I mean, and there's some court challenges against this law. The legislative battle over this law appears to be over, but I think it's one of those stories that just sort of, it's just going to keep folding into the next story, you
mm-hmm.
know, like this, you just mentioned the court challenges. There's court challenges against this, on the grounds that, it violated the state's open meetings laws. You know, if those should happen to go somewhere, that would be huge. Even if they don't, you've sort of got the next chapter of, you're going to have all these recalls. All these recall elections,
yeah.
Anyway, it looks like there's going to be people circulating petitions for that. Very good chance that some senators are going to lose their jobs. And, you know, beyond that, it folds into the governor's budget for the next 2 years, which will be debated over the next few months. And, you know, a year from now.
2 years
could,
from now?
Yeah, right. I mean, this could be sort of the narrative that we have heading into the presidential election in 2012 for Wisconsin, which is just a key battleground state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that you've sort of had the blast that set all this off, and you know, I think it's just going to keep going.
So a week ago, we still had a budget repair bill that hadn't been passed.
Mm-hmm.
We still had 14 Democratic senators across the border in
yeah.
Illinois. Boy,
I guess a lot changed,
I
right?
I guess a lot changed. Take us through the week.
Well, I think Wednesday was sort of the shocker,
yeah.
And that's when the Senate Republicans decided that they were no longer going to wait for Senate Democrats to come home, that they weren't going to let the minority party tie their hands on this one. And they introduced a bill that would it took enough of the fiscal stuff out of the
mm-hmm.
bill, the appropriations out of the bill, that they could pass it without that quorum of 20. In other words, they could pass it without any Democratic, they could vote on it without any Democratic
right.
senators present. And so at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, everybody suddenly got word that there was going to be a conference committee at 6. And, you know, at that point, you didn't know exactly what that conference committee was going to do. And just a little under 2 hours later, that conference committee met and, you know, basically just passed this bill that nobody had seen yet without some of that key fiscal language in there. And really, you know, I just have to sort of set the scene on where the committee met. They met in the Senate parlor,
mm-hmm,
which is behind the Senate yep. chamber. And really the senators who were in the room just turned around, walked into the Senate. You know, the gaggle of reporters that was in there for that committee poured into the Senate chambers, and the Senate convened, and they passed the bill without any debate, 18-1, with only Republicans present. And that's when you had just that outpouring of protesters just flood the Capitol that night, and, you know, police that were stationed at the Capitol just basically stood back and decided it was safer to let them come in and demonstrate than it was to try to stop them from coming in.
Yeah, a couple of things. First, the crowd that gathered at the Capitol gathered very quickly,
yeah,
and
very
a lot
quickly.
Of people are pointing at things like Twitter and Facebook for making all that happen. or at least part of that happen. But I'm also wondering, too, many of us, I think, have seen actual video of that because there was so much media there. There was so much coverage of it. And I'm wondering, from your vantage point, do you think that coverage played a difference in the reaction of it? Because it's one thing to read about that in a newspaper report. Mm-hmm. It would be another thing to see it live on video, as so many people have.
The coverage played a role in getting people down there.
Getting them fired up and kind of continuing everything.
Yeah, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if people had a chance to, like, go home and watch the evening news. Mm-hmm. I think it was...
I was thinking more on Saturday as the crowd
Saturday,
got yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Saturday, I would say, like, so the Senate passed the bill on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, you had the Assembly coming in, and that was going to be... where they finally passed this bill. You know, they had to pass the identical bill that the Senate did. And I would say that, you know, that you've had large, generally very peaceful crowds at all these protests, mm-hmm. but I'd say the energy was definitely higher on that Thursday, for sure. I mean, that because they locked the building down, and I'm not exactly sure what was at play there, although they did have to take some people out of the area in front of the Assembly doorways that some people said protesters weren't going to leave there. So they took them out of there, you know, physically. It could have been a reason they could shut down the building, but I don't know, because the building was locked down. Legislators couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was crowds that every time a door would open, when a legislator would say, "Hey, can I get in?" And police would tell them no. It got kind of tense there at times on Thursday until the building opened up a bit. So, I think that's an area where probably what people saw the day before may have driven the energy of the crowd. And then, you know, on Saturday, there was pretty huge rally as well.
Yeah, and the Assembly vote on Thursday, we can't forget about that either, because...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all the Democrats were trying to talk. They were talking for quite some time, and then again, another quick vote.
Yeah, another quick vote, but they had a sense that one was coming.
Yeah.
It was, you know... In normal circumstances, you might say, boy, they cut off debate. That's something they never do
mm-hmm.
in Wisconsin. But I guess compared to given the crowds outside and given just sort of the unusual circumstances of previous votes that had happened, I guess that one ranks a distant, you know, third or fourth in terms of interest level. But that was where, I mean, you had the final debate on this bill, and you had Republicans, including... Sure, Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald, telling Democrats that they were overplaying the negative in all this.
What's going to happen here today is we're going to vote on this bill in the light of day. It's going to pass. And I know you feel passionate that this is going to ruin Wisconsin and this is going to make everybody take to the streets and Wisconsin as we know it will never be. That's simply not true.
And Robin Voss, the legislature's budget committee co-chairman, who now has the job of shepherding that budget through the next couple months, was asked whether these large crowds and these protests, why the energy was so intense and whether it changed his perspective on the bill at all.
I think this is a clear reminder that change is an awful lot more difficult than people ever realize. When we see the size of the federal deficit at trillions of dollars, and we see the size of the deficit in Wisconsin at billions, it doesn't surprise me how long it's taken us to get here, and trying to turn it back is tough. So we are taking votes today that are not something we enjoy doing, but people sent us here to fix a problem, and that's what's being done.
Most of the speaking, of course, though, is it by minority Democrats who were protesting this bill and the way that it had been passed. And Madison Assembly Democrat Mark Pocan, who's played a very active role in the Assembly's campaigns the last couple cycles, gives every indication that he will in the next cycle as well, given the way he was calling out Republicans basically by name and occupation in this. He said that, the vote that they were about to take was, going to hurt a lot of the members over on the Republican side.
There are a lot of people, Mr. Speaker, that you're saying jump off that cliff. The governor jumped, now the Senate jumped, and they're going to have recalls, and now all your members are going to jump, and you have no idea where the bottom is because you've decided that democracy doesn't matter. That it's more important to have the political scoring of trying to destroy workers' voices and destroy unions and therefore somehow you've decided it's going to destroy the Democratic Party, that it's all worth violating any rule and any law to get there.
And, you know, that sort of leads into what we're going to see next with these. Now, it's not a complete do-over, but in the Senate, you know, there's a there is a chance that you could, depending on how the recalls go, Democrats have a legitimate shot at taking control of one of those pieces of state government.
We're going to take a break right now. When we return, we'll come back with Sean Johnson, and we'll take some of your calls as well. So stick around for that. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be sunny and mild. You can expect highs around the state in the high 30s to mid-40s. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold, down to 18 for a low in the northern parts of the state, mid-20s in the southern part of the state. And then tomorrow, it's going to be cloudy and mild. Expect a chance of rain. Highs will be in the mid to upper 40s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine. It's the State Capitol Report. Sean Johnson is with us, our State Capitol Reporter, this half hour. And don't forget, after 7:30, Kevin Kennedy with the Government Accountability Board is going to be talking with us about how the recall process for legislators works here in the state of Wisconsin. There are rules to follow, and we will find out what those are after 7:30. In the meantime, Sean Johnson, after all the action in the Senate and the Assembly, the governor signed the bill on Friday twice, as it turns out, and it almost seemed anticlimactic. I mean, there were still crowds outside and all of that, but it seemed like some of the wind had been taken out of some sails.
Yeah, in terms of the actual battle over this bill, I think everything after the Senate acted on Wednesday was sort of anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you still had the Assembly that had to pass this, and definitely the way that the fact that they had trouble getting everybody into the building apparently on Thursday. I mean, that was all interesting stuff. But Wednesday was sort of that. You know, the shock and awe happened on Wednesday when the bill went through quickly and in unusual fashion.
And then on Saturday, of course, another 80, well, it depends, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people showed up at the Capitol.
Yeah, the estimates have varied. I mean, if you go with Madison Police, which is, they said there were between 85 and 100,000 people. And then, you know, I can tell you, having been there for all the big rallies, that it was, at least from the perspective of somebody just trying to get around the crowd and just cross the street, it seemed like it was clearly the biggest rally so far, where you just had a constant parade of people around the Capitol Square. And part of the reason they were there was, you know, I think this rally was in the works for quite some time, but one of the featured speakers at that Saturday rally were the 14 Senate Democrats who had been out of town. And I think they all got a chance to step up to the microphone and address the crowd. Won't play all of that, but just one example was State Senator Julie Lasso, who was one of the 14 who returned and told the crowd that, you know, now the battle was going to be focused on these recall campaigns.
We will take the Capitol back!
And that's the only podium audible place to save your ears, because there was basically everybody was shouting to be heard that day. So, but earlier in the day, Senate Democrats held a press conference, less shouting there. But, you know, some of the statements, I got to say, from both sides that are coming out since this battle,
are they burning bridges? Is that what you're trying to say?
I would say it is pretty toxic in the legislature right now. Excuse me. So in the Senate, you had John Erpenbach, and just kind of listen to the terms in which he frames the debate going forward over this, not only this bill, but just anything dealing with the budget and Governor Walker.
Because of what they've done, people will be forced to pick a side. It is one side or the other. And that's their responsibility. This is Scott Walker's war.
And Exhibit B would play a little bit of Kathleen Vinehout, state senator from Alma, who was asked if there should be a general strike to protest this bill, this new law.
I think the people that we're up against care about money, and they're very greedy. And what would be as effective as a general strike is to look at the companies and the products that these people manufacturer and to say, I'm going to decide with my own consumer dollars that I'm not going to buy these products anymore.
So, you know, calling for a boycott of companies that that have backed Republicans. And, you know, I wish I had audio to play for you here, but all I have is a written statement from Senator Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader, blistering statement that he put out that day. Said, quote, today the most shameful 14 people in the state of Wisconsin are going to pat themselves on the back and smile for the cameras. They're going to pretend they're heroes for taking a three-week vacation. It's an absolute insult to the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites who are struggling to find a job. And, you know, Fitzgerald goes on to say he hopes they're embarrassed to call themselves senators. So calls them all out by name as well. So just, you know, the...
Political give and take is part of the process.
Sure.
I mean, you often hear things on the floor of the Senate or the Assembly that you wouldn't say.
This rises to a new level,
really?
Though, what both sides are, the terms that they're using now. And, for example, you don't often hear people call each other liars, and you're hearing that. You know, you hear it implied, but it's not a term that's used. You hear people referring to each other as corrupt. You know, you don't often hear those. They may be implied on the floor debate, but it's rare that they're said. And, you know, in the Senate, at least, I think it's a pretty clear sign that we're in the middle of a campaign now, you know, that this is not just your typical Senate session or budget debate. You know, Senator Fitzgerald is fighting to protect his majority here that's, you know, only a few months old. And so you're going to see, I think, pretty strong push from both sides until these recall campaigns happen, and probably after they happen too.
Have we ever, and I haven't been alive for that long, but have we ever seen anything quite like this in Wisconsin that you're aware of?
Well, of the last few weeks?
Yeah. I mean, I keep thinking that one day I've got to go take a look at a history book and see if there's been anything like this. And I have no memory of this ever happening.
Fred Risser has been a state legislator in Wisconsin for 50 years now, and he said he hadn't seen anything like this. You know, talking to people who've been around the Capitol building for 40 years, they've said they've never seen anything like this. And if you're talking about just the level of sustained protest that there's been at the Capitol, you know, we had as many as 100,000 people at the Capitol Square on Saturday to talk about a bill that had already passed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were no longer trying to kill this bill. Now it's sort of moving on to this this larger, I don't know, I think they view it as a movement. So, yeah, this is definitely unique. And just with the recall campaigns.
That's new territory.
That is new territory. You know, Craig Gilbert in the Journal Sentinel has really broken that down quite a bit. And his read of that was that this is basically unique in all the country, that I think there had only been something like 13 legislators that had been recalled in the country. And here we have 16 that are up potentially up for recall in Wisconsin. And, you know, a good chance that a few of them could be voted out depending on how it goes. So, this is uncharted territory for sure.
You know, one of the things I forgot to ask about when they took the non-fiscal items out of the budget repair bill, what happened to the fiscal items?
So,
and what were those left in?
There's a lot of what you would call fiscal items that are still in there, and I wish I had a better understanding of what exactly they took out and why that met the constitutional requirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly short constitutional requirement, just a paragraph in the state's constitution on when you need to have that quorum. What I can tell you is that senators said they consulted with the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys and their budget experts, you know, so like the Fiscal Bureau and the Reference Bureau
and so forth. Mm-hmm.
And they were assured that this document that they voted on met the constitutional that you did not need the quorum that's required in the Constitution to vote on this. And I think it had something to do with taking out the appropriations, you know, taking out the language that spent money. I'll just kind of leave it at that. That's sort of like the extent of my understanding there. So some of the refinancing of debt, for example, is not in there. But other issues in there that relate to the state's finances remain. So it was enough to get around that requirement and around the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. So two more things. So the bill is sitting over at the Secretary of State's office for another, must be like 7 or 8 days now. I've kind of lost track. And then once it passes muster there, assuming it doesn't run into some legal challenges, then it's a done deal.
Right. I think Secretary of State Doug LaFollette, who, by the way, is the last, is the only statewide elected Democrat in Wisconsin at this point. And the bill sort of is in his hands for that final slowdown, I guess, or that final delay. He has said that he's going to wait until the 25th, and which is, you know, the final day that he can legally wait before publishing this bill. And he said that that's because of the court challenges against this.
Open meetings and so on.
Right. But at that point, yeah, it's done.
All right. So, Sean, what are you doing this week?
I don't know. I wasn't sure what I was, you know, a week ago. I didn't know what the week was going to bring. But I think this week there's probably going to be a focus on some of these legal challenges. I think there's a judicial hearing today on access to the Capitol, which, you know, it's been sort of inconsistent at best, you know, where you have, it's hard to get in the Capitol building some days. And then, you know, obviously when protesters flood in through doors that are normally locked, that's clearly unusual. And then the open meetings, you know, challenge later in the week.
All right, Sean Johnson, thanks for joining us. Sean Johnson, our state capitol reporter, and we'll continue the state capitol report after this break for news. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardy, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.